It's our custom when we celebrate the Lord's Supper to have the preaching of the word first. And so I'd like for us to turn to Isaiah 55. Then we'll read the first five verses, and then I'd like to read from the Baptist Confession as well. But first of all, from the scriptures, Isaiah 55 and verses 1 to 5. Ho, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters. And you who have no money, come, buy and eat. Yes, come buy wine and milk, without money and without price. Why do you spend money for what is not bread, and your wages for what does not satisfy? Listen carefully to me and eat what is good, and let your soul delight itself in abundance. Incline your ear and come to me. Hear, and your soul shall live. And I will make an everlasting covenant with you, the sure mercies of David. Indeed, I have given him as a witness to the people, a leader and a commander for the people. Surely you shall call a nation you do not know, and nations who do not know you shall run to you because of the Lord your God and the Holy One of Israel, for he has glorified you. And then also from the Belgic Confession that speaks about the Lord's Supper in Article 35, found in the blue hymnals and in the back on page 87. So page 87 in the blue hymnals in the back. Article 35 of the Belgic Confession says this: We believe and confess that our Savior Jesus Christ did ordain and institute the sacrament of the Holy Supper to nourish and support those whom he has already regenerated and incorporated into his family, which is his church. Now those who are regenerated have in them a twofold life, the one corporal and temporal, which they have from the first birth, and is common to all men. The other, spiritual and heavenly, which is given them in their second birth, which is effected by the word of the gospel in the communion of the body of Christ. And this life is not common, but is peculiar to God's elect. In like manner, God has given us for the support of the bodily and earthly life, earthly and common bread, which is subservient thereto and is common to all men, even as life itself. But for the support of the spiritual and heavenly life, which believers have, he has sent a living bread, which has descended from heaven, namely Jesus Christ, who nourishes and strengthens the spiritual life of believers when they eat him, that is to say, when they appropriate and receive him by faith in the Spirit. In order that he might represent unto us this spiritual and heavenly bread, Christ has instituted an earthly and visible bread as a sacrament of his body, and wine as a sacrament of his blood, to testify by them unto us that as certainly as we receive and hold this sacrament in our hands, and eat and drink the same with our mouths, by which our life is afterwards nourished, we also do as certainly receive by faith, which is the hand and mouth of our soul, the true body and blood of Christ, our only Savior, in our soul, for the support of our spiritual life. Now, as it is certain and beyond all doubt that Jesus Christ has not enjoined to us the use of his sacrament in vain, so he works in us all that he represents to us by these holy signs. Though the manner surpasses our understanding and cannot be comprehended by us, as the operations of the Holy Spirit are hidden and incomprehensible. In the meantime, we err not when we say that what is eaten and drunk by us is the proper and natural body and the proper blood of Christ. But the manner of our partaking of the same is not by the mouth, but by the Spirit through faith. Thus then, through Christ, though Christ is always sits at the right hand of his Father in the heavens, yet does he not therefore cease to make us partakers of himself by faith. This feast is a spiritual table at which Christ communicates himself with all his benefits to us and gives us there to enjoy both himself and the merits of his suffering and death, nourishing, strengthening, and comforting our poor, comfortless souls by the eating of his flesh, quickening and refreshing them by the drinking of his blood. Further, though the sacraments are connected with the thing signified, nevertheless, both are not received by all men. The ungodly indeed receives the sacrament to his condemnation, but he does not receive the truth of the sacrament, even as Judas and Simon, the sorcerer, both indeed received the sacrament, but not Christ, who was signified by it, of whom believers only are made partakers. Lastly, we receive this holy sacrament in the assembly of the people of God with humility and reverence, keeping up among us a holy remembrance of the death of Christ our Savior, with thanksgiving, making there confession of our faith and of our Christian religion. Therefore, no one ought to come to this table without having previously rightly examined himself, lest by eating of this bread and drinking of this cup, he eat and drink judgment to himself. In a word, we are moved by the use of this holy sacrament to a fervent love towards God and our neighbor. Therefore, we reject all mixtures and damnable inventions which men have added unto and blended with the sacraments as profanations of them, and affirm that we ought to rest satisfied with the ordinance which Christ and his apostles have taught us, and that we must speak of them in the same manner as they have spoken. Dear people of God, we are bombarded in this world with advice with respect to what we should eat to maintain good health. And we see that and hear that on our television sets and everywhere around. And people spend billions of dollars chasing after health and strength. And the scriptures warn us of that which God has provided so that we may not be tossed about by every kind of imaginable path that the world offers to us. And that is what Isaiah is doing in Isaiah 55. He is warning us against taking these things into our own hands and charting our life and the decisions that it involves based on our own wisdom, our own insight, even down to the basic necessities of food and drink. And so Isaiah is calling to people, warning them, "Ho, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters. And you who have no money, come buy and eat. Yes, come buy wine and milk without money or without price. And why does he have to lift up his voice? Why does he have to shout for people to hear it? Why? Because they are running in a wrong direction. They're spending all their money on avenues that are not going to help at all. That's why he says, why do you spend your money on what is not bread and your wages on what does not satisfy? You're on the wrong track. And certainly the Lord's Supper for us shouts that message to us. And in terms of this, in terms of the Belger Confession, it seeks to convey this message by presenting to us the reality that is all around us. That God has given us life, physical life. And that is common to all men. It doesn't matter whether you are a believer or not a believer. God has granted you life. That's why you are here. That's why you breathe. That's why you live in this world. Because God, out of his grace, brought you into being and gave you this life. And not only did he give you this life, but he provided sustenance for that life. He provided nourishment for that life so that that life may continue and that we may grow, that we may grow strong, that we may have all that we need to live in this world. God has graciously provided for it. God never charges us for that. God doesn't send us a grocery bill every day or every week or every year to the world. All of it comes to us freely from his hands. Now the intermediaries charge us money. In other words, the people that grow it, the people that that process it, do charge us money. And we have no complaints about that. Somebody does that work, and therefore they need to be compensated, and that's fine. But never lose sight of the fact that it originated from God at no cost whatsoever. At no cost. And God has so abundantly provided for us and promised never to remove that, as he said to Noah. Summer and winter are not going to stop. The sun isn't going to stop until the end of the world. I'm promising you that I'm never going to take away life and all the sustenance that people need, as he did in the flood. He's never going to do that again. And so God has always been faithful to that promise. As the Lord Jesus Christ said about his Father, he sends his rain and the sun on the righteous and the unrighteous. We all share that. And if we sit down and think about it for a little while, then we would realize that all good things, including food and strength, do come from his hand. They don't come from the fact that we are so good at understanding nature and manipulating it and making it more efficient in terms of the things that we put into the ground to get greater and greater increase. It's not because of all of those things. All of those things are merely using what God has provided. We can't create synthetic food. No, it only uses what God has given us. And so for us to understand that and appreciate it, that is clear, as I said, in the creation, just as Romans 1 says, that God's invisible attributes are clearly seen in creation. It's clearly seen in creation that humanity owes its existence and its sustenance to God himself. But they will never admit it. They will never give him the credit. They will never honor him for it. But they will just pat themselves on the back. Now somehow this just occurred by itself, by chance. Nothing could be more foolish. Nothing could leave us more inexcusable before God. And so it is to God that we need to give thanks. And every day when people eat their food, when people drink, they are reminded of this fact. And yet they turn their eyes away from it. never mind saying grace. There's not an ounce of gratitude in their hearts. What is obvious before them, they deny. Well, if that is something that you understand from the scriptures, then the scriptures also teach, and our confessions reflect, that there is another life that God has granted to us that is not common to all men, and that is spiritual life. That he gives to his elect. That he gives to those that he's chosen. And as he's given us that life, he has also given us the sustenance that we need for that as well. So you can imagine that if we don't get this message from the natural creation about God giving us life and giving us sustenance for it, and we have to use that sustenance, otherwise we will have real problems in terms of our physical life. I mean, you don't drink for a month or so, and you don't eat for a month or so, you're going to see the difference. It's going to be very quickly clear that you are becoming malnourished, and in a short order, you're not going to be alive anymore. You're not going to make it too long. That we understand. But that's what God wants to impress upon us with respect to our spiritual life. There's a correspondence between the two. So God has given you spiritual life that you did not create, you didn't bring it about, just like you didn't bring about your physical life. You didn't have a say in that. You didn't say, oh, I want to be born, I want to be born. No, you didn't have any say in that. And though your parents had a hand in it, in a sense, in terms of the means, but neither did they. Neither did they. It was by God's sovereign will. So also spiritual life is by God's sovereign will. But having given you that life, it needs sustenance. And for us to have that spiritual life and not realize that we need nourishing is to make such a fundamental mistake, an error, a dangerous error, that we clearly see in the physical realm, but we don't seem to see in the spiritual realm. It's so hard to miss a meal, isn't it? We like food so much, it's hard to miss a meal. Somehow we put it down, I missed a meal. In other words, I'm going to eat a little bit more next time. I'm going to make up for it, right? But no one says that about spiritual life. No one said, you know, I missed church last Sunday. I'm going to do something about it because I wasn't nourished. I wasn't with God's people. I didn't hear God's word. I didn't reflect on it. I'm going to make up on it. No one says in the week, you know, I didn't read the Bible today. I didn't pray today. I wasn't nourished. It seems to go by so easily. In the same way that God has given us an appetite for food and we like that, the same way we need to say, why don't I have an appetite for spiritual food? Why don't I yearn for that? And God's word is impressing that upon us. And Isaiah is warning against trying to feed ourselves with so-called synthetic food that's not going to help us. That we excuse ourselves. Oh, as long as I do this, I'm okay. As long as I do that, I'm okay. It's chasing after worldly spiritual bread. It's not going to satisfy. No, we have to have a clear insight into what that is and that we need to pursue it. You know, the Israelites were given a very hard lesson in this regard. For 40 years, they ate manna from heaven. For 40 years, day after day after day. It was only on the Sabbath that they didn't have to go out and collect it, right? They had to collect two on the sixth day, so they wouldn't do it on the seventh day. But for 40 years, can you imagine, 40 years, it was impressed upon them that God is the one that feeds them. God is the one that feeds them. There was no denying that. Well, so is here. God is the one that feeds us. And we need to understand that. And that's what the Lord's Supper is doing. It's reminding us of the fact that we need to be fed by God. We need to be nourished in our souls. But what is that? Well, there's certainly earthly food, as I say. And there is to be wisdom, even on the earthly level, there is to be wisdom with respect to what we eat and how much we eat and the kind of foods that we eat. Because even though God has provided this wonderful supply of food, it can still be abused. We can still eat the wrong things. And we're the leading nation of the world as far as that is concerned. In other words, we're the leading nation that has so much food and yet it does us damage. Because we don't eat as we should. We don't eat the amount that we should. We don't eat the kinds of foods that we should. So there's a certain wisdom that we need to bring to what God has provided for us so that it is good for our bodies and that we are healthy and we live to enjoy God's wonderful creation and reflect Him in our lives. Well, so is the case with spiritual food. So is the case with spiritual food. We need to know what it is, but we need to eat it in the way that we should. So the spiritual food, of course, is the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. All that He says to us, beginning with the gospel, of course, and His atoning death, they're absolutely essential. If we don't have Him in terms of our intake of spiritual food, we have nothing. We have absolutely nothing. That's why Isaiah is so adamant about it. Why are you running after these things? You don't understand. You're not getting real nourishment. So often we say that to our children, right? They like such and such and such. And really, in terms of benefit, there's no benefit. It makes them happy. Gets them a little high, right? With all the sugar and stuff. But it really doesn't do them much good. And yet, in the Christian church, sadly to say, there's a correspondence to that. People can do a whole lot of things that really make no difference to their spiritual life. Makes them happy, hyper a little bit. But it's not doing anything. It's not building them up. And so we have to look at spiritual food and understand what it is. Christ is the living bread. That manna that came down from the sky for 40 years, what was it pointing to? It was pointing to that living bread that would come, which is the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Lord Jesus Christ Himself differentiated between the two by putting it very bluntly. Your fathers ate the manna in the wilderness and they are dead. They are dead. If you want to compare that bread with me, it's no comparison whatsoever. We're back to Isaiah 55. They ate that bread and died. I am the bread for them. If anyone eats of me, he will never hunger, he will never thirst. What superiority is there in Christ's provisions for our spiritual lives? So we need to feed on Him. We need to think upon all that He has said, all that He says in God's Word. Those are the things that need to be part and parcel of us. Those are the things that we need to have in our mind. Those are the things that we have to turn to every day in our Christian lives. Those are the things that we have to rejoice in. Those are the things that we have to yearn for. Just as you yearn for certain foods, and you may go through all the effort of making it and then preparing it and eating it. You can say to people, what's your favorite food? And they'll rattle off a lot of stuff. But what about spiritual food? Where is your favor? No, no, no. There needs to be an appetite. You need to have an appetite. And if you're the person that can go through the week and never think about God, never dwell upon God's wonderful promises in His Word, never open the Bible and read it, there's something desperately wrong. Desperately wrong. And you're spiritually unhealthy. And in time, it's going to begin to show. So we need to be thankful that God has provided these things. And no cost, by the way. No cost. I mean, even on an earthly level, the Bible doesn't cost that much to buy. At no cost to you. And we have it in abundance, just like physical food, compared to the countries in the world. We have it in abundance, more than we need. So there's no excuse. So ask yourself, do I know what that food is and how to appropriate it to my soul so that I may grow, that I may mature? But how do we eat it? I mean, the confession touches on that too. How do we eat it? Well, when it comes to the physical bread, we have no problem. We sit at a table and we take it and we put it in our mouth and we chew it and it goes in and our stomachs start doing their work and nourishments are pulled out of it. And there's a whole lot of things that go on, isn't it? We just enjoy the part that goes into our mouth and we get taste and it goes down. But that's really not that's not what gets us nourishment, is it? I mean, satisfies our mind. But it's once it goes down and our stomachs start working and nourishment gets extracted and it gets sent out to the rest of the body and our bodies become stronger for it. That's how it works. And when we have problems with it, then we know we have problems. Then we appreciate what we had and how it worked wonderfully. But now that it doesn't work, oh boy, now we know how important it is. So how do we do it spiritually? The confession tells us. He says, what corresponds to the mouth in the physical realm is faith. If we don't have faith, it would be like sitting at your dining table without a mouth. It's all nice and all laid out there, but you can put it in the fork and lift it up, but there's nowhere to put it. Nowhere to put it. You can't appropriate it. Well, that's the way it is by faith. When we come to the Lord's table, what we have represented on the Lord's table, and what we have represented when we come to the Scriptures, because after all, what does Christ say? The Scriptures speak of me. What we are faced with is spiritual nourishment. But the only way that we can appropriate it to ourselves is by having faith. So if we don't have faith, we can never partake of this food. Or we may take the elements and eat them, but the mouth cannot do anything. There's nothing in the stomach that will extract spiritual truths from food. Absolutely not. Absolutely not. And that's why it's a pointless exercise. Judas Iscariot had no nourishment when the Passover was celebrated. Absolutely no nourishment. He didn't have faith. Anyone that sits in our church and fools us and partakes, they haven't taken anything from us. They haven't benefited anything other than condemnation because they profane and insult the body and blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. They drink and eat judgment unto themselves. That's why we warn visitors. And even in the congregation, we warn each other. So it's by faith. So God has provided spiritual nourishment. But if you don't have spiritual life, you don't need that nourishment. And you can't even take that nourishment. So it begins with faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Come unto me. For ye that labor and heavy labor. Burden and I will give you rest. God will provide. God would grant us faith so that now we can start appropriating the blessings that He has bestowed upon us in His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, that's what the Catechism says in this very, very blunt way. We do actually eat the real body and blood of, and drink the real body, blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. We do. But how? By faith. By faith. So when we have that trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, when we are united with the Lord Jesus Christ, then all the blessings that arise from His atoning death on the cross become ours day by day by day. That's why you can't fake it. You can't say, oh, I made a profession of faith. It doesn't matter. Do you have faith? That's the thing. Do you have faith? You may get past that hurdle and convince us that you do, and really you don't. We haven't lost anything, but you have. Because you say you have faith and you don't. And all the wonderful preaching in the world isn't going to bring you any nourishment at all. All the celebration of the Lord's Supper are not going to bring you any nourishment because you don't have faith. So what is faith? Faith is seeing the blessings that God has promised us and given to us and appropriating them just like the stomach does with food. It takes those precious promises. It gives us an anchor for the soul. It gives us strength every day as we go forth into this world. And all the struggles that we face, all the decisions that we have to make, we are able to make those things in a way that is pleasing to God and beneficial to our soul. So we have to feed on the Lord Jesus Christ. And lastly, the confession reminds us that this is food for God's family. For God's people. Sometimes people get, you know, upset when we say in our announcement that all those that are members of a faithful church, that is included too. And people don't like that. They think, if I believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, it doesn't matter if I'm a member anywhere, then I should be able to come to the Lord's Supper. And sometimes they point to the confessions and say, nowhere does it say that. It doesn't say anything like that. It absolutely does. It absolutely does. As I read for you in Article 35, it does. Who is it speaking to? It's speaking to the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Lastly, we receive this holy sacrament in the assembly of the people of God, with humility and reverence, keeping up among us a holy remembrance of the death of of Christ, our Savior, with thanksgiving. So it is in the assembly of God's people. The sacrament is given to us not individually or as families, it's given to us as the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we are to be members of the Lord Jesus Christ. We are to be members of the church. And we are to deny it to unbelievers. That's a responsibility that we have. And that's why we warn people. We understand that there are other churches. We understand that there are other churches that are not affiliated with us. But nevertheless, they are true churches. And we're happy for that. And so we receive them with open hearts. It's not around the table of our, that is, the church here, our Lord. It's a table of our Lord in a much more Catholic sense. And so we welcome them as brothers and sisters in the Lord Jesus Christ. But they all have to be members of the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's what the Lord Jesus Christ said to the Syrophoenician a woman that kept after him and kept after him. And he said, and people are very uncomfortable with that. He said, we ought not to take children's bread and feed it to the dogs. We thought, not the best way of attracting people. But Christ was making a point. that is, it's within the people of God. And if we disassociate ourselves from the people of God, we don't want anything to do with them, but we want the blessings that God has bestowed upon them, then no. No. So we need to be part and parcel of the people. We need to be members of the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ. So that we can sit around that table. That would be like some stranger coming to your house and saying, hey, make room for me. Well, who are you? Well, I want to eat. I'm hungry. Yeah, but you don't belong at this table. No. You have to be part of the family to belong at the table of God's people. And so the confession is right when it says that. And so we're right when we warn people that they need to be all of those things. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, yes. Confess their sins, yes. Resolve to live a holy life, absolutely. But be members of the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is the children's bread. And it's to be given to them and only them. But the doors are wide open. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be given the right to be called the children of God. We're not holding that from you. We're not banning you. We're not shutting the door. We're saying, come. Oh, everyone who thirsts, everyone who hungers, come to the table through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And you will be satisfied in your soul. It is indeed a wonderful pleasure for us, again, this morning, to be reminded of the spiritual nourishment that God provides for us, of which you need to partake of, not only on this day in this sacramental form, but every day as you believe in Him and honor Him. Our Father in heaven, we do thank you for being concerned about our needs. And our Father in heaven, we are truly amazed in terms of what you provide for us in a physical way, in terms of food and drink. And when we just see the amount of food that this world needs on a daily basis, we are just absolutely flabbergasted that you have provided that day after day, year after year, century after century, for thousands of years. And free of charge. Our Father in heaven, when we begin to think of what you have provided for us spiritually, then that response to your physical provisions pales into insignificance. Because we are absolutely overwhelmed when we see that you have given to us your own Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to give his life for us, to redeem us, to cleanse us, to unite us, to give us a privilege to be known as the children of God. And our Father in heaven, that will be our eternal song of gratitude. And our Father in heaven, we pray that we might truly be nourished through him and by him every day of our life, beginning this week, so that we might have the strength wherewithal to serve him faithfully in every word that he calls us to. Our Father in heaven, we pray that you would give us an appetite for your word, for you. And Lord, that you would nourish us as we celebrate in this sacramental way and receive from your hands what we need for godliness. Our Father, we ask that you would hear our prayers, and that you would bless us in our celebration, for we pray these things in the precious name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Let us respond as we stand and sing from the Red Hymnals number 427.